Yeah.
There you go.
Welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. Thank you guys for tuning in this afternoon. Today's show is going to be fabulous. So you guys asked for it, and we are going to give it to you. We're going to get inside of the man's mind. We're going to pick their brains, and we're going to see why are men from, is it Venus, and we're from Mars, whichever one that is. So, guys, I know I got a lot of my ladies that will be tuned into the show because we recently did a show on women and getting inside of a woman's mind. And, guys, you know, there's always controversy when there are men and women and how they think, particularly in marriage. So a lot of folks are not equally yoked. Some people on a seesaw. You're never on the same page at the same time. And so we want to talk a little bit about how we may can change some of that. So not necessarily a therapy session, but kind of a therapy session. So ladies, let's go for the ride. Men that are tuned in on the show, you will have an opportunity as well to email in your questions. So this Thursday afternoon, I have in the studio with me, Gary Williams. Hey, Gary.
Good morning.
I have Tim Gray. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And I have David Murphy, guys. That's my spouse.
Good morning.
So, yes, this will be interesting. So, guys, listen. This is a keep it real. So, no hold back. You're not going to be judged. Nobody's going to penalize you because we all know sometimes, you know, men, you guys don't talk because you guys think you're going to have to hear it next week, right? So we're going to get into that in a few minutes. Or you feel like she's going to bring it up next year. So this is for my husband. You will not be judged today in the studio. We're at work. So I won't hold you accountable for what you say. So anyway, getting started. About 2 months ago, when I did do my show for women, there were a lot of folks that wanted to hear what you know, how men think. And so I put a poll out, I did a little survey, and sent out some questions that women may want the answers to. Now, guys, it's like probably about 78 questions. Now, we're not going to be able to answer 78 questions this morning. So what we're going to do is try to answer some, get you guys' input, and see where y'all go wrong. Okay, well, we all go wrong. So anyways, I want to start with the first question. And this is from Melissa. Melissa is in Chi-Town. So Melissa wants to know, Are you okay with your wife having friends of the opposite sex? So, Gary, I'll let you answer that for us.
Okay. Well, I personally do not have a problem with my wife having friends of the opposite sex. I believe that's an issue typically comes from a lack of trust. And that's basically for both individuals. That's not a man thing. I don't think it's a man or a woman thing. I just believe that if two people can make each other feel comfortable, be honest 100% of the time, irregardless of the situation, we don't, as men, have a reason to distrust our spouse. And for that, I'm not worried about if she has a male friend, whatever his intentions are, whatever his thought process is. I trust my wife in that issue.
Okay. And you know what? Gary said something that's, you know, it does make a difference in your marriage. That word trust, because you can't really have, it's hard to function if you don't trust your spouse. So, Tim, what's your thought on that, as far as your wife having friends of the opposite sex? Are you okay with that?
I mean, I think it is about trust, but it's also about transparency. Like, there's got to be, you have to understand what that relationship is, how it came to be, you know. It can't be just a name that you hear. Like, you definitely need to know who this person is.
So it can't be like a random.
No, it can't be. I mean, it just can't be in passing. You know, some people have this whole thing where they claim they have, like, these work spouses, and you just hear these names, but you don't know who they are.
Right.
So, I mean, it has to be somebody that you know. You know, I feel like it at least need to be a casual introduction or something to where you know who this person is. So when there's being talked, you can kind of put a... You know, one, you need to be able to put a face to the name and know what the situation is and what that relationship truly is. Because just hearing somebody's name and not really knowing, you know, exactly who it is, I think that's where it creates a whole lot. Because now you can be left to wonder a whole lot of things. And even if you trust mm-hmm. your spouse, you still can wonder, like, okay, when you, because if it's a person at work or someone that they're in constant contact with, in some ways they may be in contact with them more during the day than they are with you. You need to really know exactly who that person is and really what the relationship is based on.
So basically, in other words, Tim, you do believe that your wife can just be a platonic friend to a male?
Yeah, but I think you could definitely have platonic friends, but there's also always relationships where, I mean, you know, guys are guys, so they may have mm-hmm. ulterior motives. Doesn't mean that she has one. But there, you know, and there are some guys who can strictly just be a friend, and they may come into it that. But then there are other guys that may come into it on that. That's their approach to get in, is like, you know, we're just gonna be friends, and then, you know, let's have dinner, let's go grab a drink.
But they have, in other words, they have ulterior motives.
Yeah.
So, but if the trust comes in with your wife, you guys think, and this is kind of getting off the subject a little bit. But do you think that women can be vulnerable to those type of guys?
Oh, definitely.
So if he comes in with a motive, you know? And
well, whether he has a motive or not, you know, we're creatures of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So it may have started off as 100% platonic on both sides. And he may have had a tragedy or a trauma in his life, and she's been a listening ear and a confidant. And then all of a sudden, we're having issues at the house. Mm. she has something that she really wants to get off her chest, but she doesn't feel comfortable sharing it with me because she don't know how I'm going to respond. So she talks to him, and now they have this bond with each other where they can confide in each other with things that they can't share with other people, and it flusters into something else. So to piggyback on what Tim said, transparency is the key. And for both people involved, both husband and wife, if they trust each other to be able to say, hey, this is what's going on with this guy, and this is what's going on here, each of them can deal with that situation before it grows into something it's not supposed to be.
Okay. And I agree with that, because sometimes women, you know, we are emotional by nature, you know what I mean? So, and we're going to get into some other things later in the show, far as, you know, how emotions can be tapped into, far as women and attention and things of that nature. So, Mr. Murphy, are you okay with your wife having friends of the opposite sex?
Can I plead the fifth? Well, you know, it's kind of impossible not to have some type of interaction with the, you know, the opposite sex. So, Am I okay with my wife having friends? I have to ask, is my wife okay with me having friends? But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's
it is okay if you're not okay with it. We're just being, you know, this is why you guys are here, because everybody's mind does not think alike. So what may work for Tim might not work for, you know, for you, and what works for, you know, David may not work for Gary. You know what I mean? So it's okay. Because the thing is, if, you know, we, you know, I do have friends of the opposite sex, but you know them. So what they got incorporated into the marriage, into the relationship, so to speak. Would you say you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
So they're not any randoms that...
I mean, it's not even about... I still don't think it's about random. And again, and really, what kind of like what Gary said, is as simple as this. Like, the transparency thing is one thing, but then when he spoke about creatures of opportunity, like, you got to look at it like, it could be a great friend. And you have a great friend. But most guys are going to be distrusting of another guy who's spending time with, you know, with their significant other, wife, girlfriend, whatever it is, because especially if you start relaying information about your relationship or about things where you feel like your man is coming up short, that's only giving him opportunity, because it's the easy part is now he can be exactly what you're complaining that your mate isn't. So, and he gets the best. I look at it like this. I feel like in situations like that, the guy who is the friend, he's always going to be a hero, because he's always the good guy. He doesn't have to be there. He's not like that 24/7 guy. So he's not there when you guys are complaining about something that's not getting done at the house. He's always the good guy. Right. And he can use all the bad stuff that you share with him to fill in all those things that are being complained about.
I totally agree with that. And also I can say that, you know, because you have an issue, because, you know, of course, the outside person that you don't pay bills with, you don't have an everyday life with, you don't have any children with, those people always seem like fun. You know what I mean? So I totally agree with that. I think that my opinion on this topic is, I feel that if you have male friends, if your wife has male friends of the opposite sex, I mean, you should know about them. I don't think they should pop up, you know, like 20 years. You guys have been married 10 years, and then 8 years in the marriage, you find out she's friends with whomever, but you don't know the person. You don't communicate with them either. So my opinion with that is, you know, if you came into the situation with male friends already, and they're going to be everybody's friend, like, you know, everybody kind of becomes one, I'm kind of okay with that. The part I'm not okay with is if she has had some sexual encounter with the guy. Because, I mean, to me, can they be friends? Of course. You know, you got a lot of, you know, it's a lot of women out here, ladies. Let's keep it real. There's a lot of women out here, too, that have slept with men, and they now call them their brother.
So. That thing can spare, you know, 8 to 10 heads, because as a man, we never get the full story. We never get how you guys became friends in the first place. We never get the, we dated in high school, or we dated in college for a minute. It really doesn't count. But there's always, you know, I heard a pastor speak a long time about being divorced from an individual, and it doesn't mean that you were ever married to him. But if you ever shared a physical connection with this person, it takes a lot to divorce and get that person out of your system. And so what happens is, you entered another relationship. It could be a marriage, it could be a long-term relationship, but you still hold in all of these physical connections with a bunch of different people. And in that situation, you have to detach yourself from that if you truly expect for your next relationship to flourish. And it's unfair to us as the men to be labeled as, you know, they don't trust me, and he's just over all these different things that have nothing to do with the fact that truly some guys, you don't have your business being friends with.
I mean, I totally agree with that. Now I have to agree with you on that. So far as you shouldn't be friends with certain guys. Now, we're going to go into this a little more. You know, when we say friendship, right? So your wife is cool with this person. How about your wife communicating with the person far as on a regular basis? And when I say regular basis, this is her friend, her homeboy, whatever you want to call it, but she's talking to him continuously. on a regular basis, or she hanging out with him. So are you guys okay with these male friends that, you know, your wifey gets to go hang out? Wifey might say she's having a cocktail with them, she's having drinks with them. And I know that we talked about trust, but are you guys okay with those types of relationships? What do you think about that, David?
Absolutely not. You know, like you said, lunch, dinner, and all that, those things are out of bounds. So I just don't see the place for that.
Especially consistently, like you're saying, like they're all, you know, and if it's, again, if it's his homeboy, then, I mean, oh, if he's spending all the time with her, when he's spending time with his, you know, where his other at?
Or maybe he don't have a other, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying. So then that means there is some emotional attachment there. There's something like, why is he constantly, if he's aware of the relationship that she has with another man, husband, boyfriend, again, whatever their relationship is, and he's still trying to spend time with her, then he either doesn't have anyone or he does have other motives.
Well, I personally think that, you know, a man that doesn't have somebody else, because to me, you know, I think there's always some type of attraction amongst a man and a woman. Somehow, whatever the connection may be, it doesn't always have to be physical. But sometimes I believe there's always some type of attraction. So, Melissa, I hope that answered
your question. Well, there are some unique situations, and I didn't mean to cut you
off.
That's
okay.
But there are some unique situations, because I personally have experienced, actually more recently, a situation where my wife has a very good friend. He's a slightly younger male than her, and he looks up to her as a quote-unquote big sister.
Okay.
And he's actually going through a very traumatic situation and a separation and a divorce from his wife. And he was ostracized from his home. And my wife actually told him that it was okay for him to stay at the house with us.
Okay, so you were cool with him?
I was 100%.
But is this someone that you know as well, Gary?
I do, but he was a friend of hers that I was introduced to.
Gotcha.
And I truly have a very good friend relationship. And, you know, I look at their relationship and he depends on her as a friend would.
So more like a sister, like a real... You're comfortable with it because it's really more like a sister-brother type relationship.
Well, you were aware of their relationship before he got a divorce, right? Before they were going through a divorce and everything.
So see, that's a little bit different,
like,
yeah.
So it's like almost, even though, you know, he said he looks at her as a sister, it's almost like you guys are still, you know.
Right.
So it's no different than like a friend, and they go, you know, it may be her friend. You know them. He has his mate. If he lost his mate and mm-hmm. he needed someone to come to, and you know that they have that kind of relationship, right, it's easy to accept that. So that is, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't think that fits into
not the, you know, majority of the major scope of things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because actually, like I said, you know, there I have male friends that became both of, you know, our friends. But these were individuals that were already my friends. And so, you know, when my husband and I started dating, we basically kind of, everybody just became one big family. So there are no hitting friends. Okay. Well, Melissa, I hope that answers your question.
Melissa, keep your male friends in the friend zone, and you probably won't have any problems with your spouse.
Well, actually, Melissa's, it's a really long paragraph, but really her husband does not allow her to have male friends of the opposite sex. So that's kind of where probably her question came
from.
Smart. All right, guys. So this is something I want to ask you guys before we get to the next question. What is a pet peeve that you guys may have with your wives? Tim, what's a pet peeve? One pet peeve you can think off the top of your head that you have with your wife that absolutely drives you insane?
It's not one. I don't know. I think revisiting stuff that's like been, that I feel like is over, or, you know, to be and have a discussion, we'll be having a disagreement about something, and during the course of having that conversation, all with something that happened 2 weeks ago all of a sudden comes up, or 6 months ago, or whatever it is, and it's like, okay, to me that battle was already fought, won, whoever felt they won, that was over. Like, I'm not getting ready to talk about that anymore. Like, I just...
So you don't like bringing up the past?
I just think, like, whenever we in the moment with that situation, whenever it's done and it's over, and if we've gone through, like we've resolved it how we resolved it at that time, coming up 2 months later or whatever, because now there's another disagreement, and then trying to, you know, add that in because maybe you feel like at that time you didn't finish saying everything that you said, or you try to tie a prior action to make it relevant to what's going on right now. Like, yeah, I'm not with that. Like,
so that's a pet peeve of yours.
Yeah,
so you don't want, in other words, you don't want her to, you feel like when something's done.
When it's done to me, and I think like, okay, we're either going to talk about it now, and if we talk about it and we go through that, then why are we revisiting that? Like, why is that a point?
Now, is it coming up in relevance? Like, okay, you have them conversation and it's coming up because it may be something you're referring back to, something that may have happened, using it for an example. No?
No, I don't even want to use it for an example. We should be doing right
now.
Like, I don't need that as an example.
All right, guys. Well, there you have it. So that's a pet peeve about Tim. So what's a pet peeve of yours, David, that something your wife does that drives you absolutely insane?
Let me think. Tim had a good point. You know, sometimes you guys will bring up the past to try to prove a point or whatever, but pet peeve, I don't have any. I have a great wife, so I don't have any pet peeves.
Yeah,
right,
you know all the right things to say.
I'm gonna have to pass on that.
No, you know all the right things to say, don't you, Mr. Murphy?
I don't know if I have any pet peeves, but you know, Tim had a good point, so
something that just drives you absolutely insane that you just right now, if your wife stopped doing it, it making your marriage making be a little more productive. So what's one? Because it doesn't mean it's gonna stop, right? It may be a part of somebody's makeup, you know. That's just
it doesn't mean that I'm gonna ever like it, and it's not gonna be a bone of contention. Like, yeah, you can. I mean, you know, certain things aren't gonna change, but I'm just saying it's still gonna bother me. Like, if there's always a reference back to, or always bringing something up when, because most times I think we feel like, if there's an issue, you kind of feel like, okay, we've moved past that. So then for it to be brought up again, or it to be constantly something that's brought up when you get not like a basic, simple argument about somebody not doing something or whatever, but like if there's like a real serious, you know, issue going on and you guys are trying to deal with it, and now it's added into that, and you know, I just don't want to revisit stuff like that.
You want that to be done, and let's deal with this new argument, because the last argument doesn't have anything to do with the new argument. And so, Gary, what's a pet peeve that your wife does that just absolutely drives you insane?
Man, here recently, my wife literally drives me crazy with the fact that she will not leave work at work, and it's a huge issue for me because. For her, she'd care less. She's oblivious to that fact. But I just, for me, it's just tough because I remember in the early stages of our marriage, I would be on the go in some situations 24/7. And even when I was home, I was working, had a home office and all this stuff. And I recall all the damage that I did to our relationship. And she walked me through that process to let me know how it made her feel. So now, in my opinion, we're on the other side of that. And she has a great career. But she still has the opportunity to leave work at work. And for example, she drives an hour and a half to work in the morning, so I don't get to talk to her during that drive.
Okay.
She's talking to any and other colleagues and coworkers, and then she works until about 5 p.m. and then she drives back an hour and a half. So when she's home at 7:30, 8 o'clock, in my opinion, all the stuff she had to do with work should be complete. Yet she'll come in the house and she'll talk on the phone for another hour and a half, another 2 hours. Mm. And it would be 4 or 5 other coworkers. But the part that really gets me is throughout every conversation she have with each of these coworkers, she'll say, well, you know what? We'll discuss this tomorrow. Let me let you get back to your family. Yet, when she gets the call, she doesn't say, hey, I'm at the dinner table with my husband and the kids.
She takes the call.
Right. So, she gets off the phone. It's 10:30, 11 o'clock, and we've both been up since 5:30, and she's like, well, she's got 5 seconds to talk to me while she falls asleep.
Mm. So you guys haven't really had any time at that point to kind of see how her day went and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, a lot of times with pet peeves, guys, we probably... I'm talking for the women, because somebody got to be an advocate for us here. So let that be me. But sometimes, you know, as pet peeves, you know, at the end of the day, we don't have, I think it's a part of our makeup. You know what I mean? So I don't think subconsciously she may come in and say, you know what, I'm just going to ignore my husband. Because I don't think, you know, you wake up with that on your mind, or you come home with that on your mind, I'm going to just ignore my husband and give all my time away to someone else. I have a question from, I want to say Juanita. I think I'm enunciating that correctly. So Juanita from Raleigh, North Carolina, she wants to talk about communication. She never knows what her husband is thinking unless he is upset. Why don't men know how to communicate? Tim, what's your take on that?
I mean, I think that's a broad statement. I don't know if that's with everybody. I mean, I'm sure there are some guys that do talk, and then it's like, okay, you know, the real issue with a lot of times in communication is women don't accept certain things that you say, or if they don't like the way that you deliver it, then it's like, you know, they tune you out. So it's like you don't talk. I mean, sometimes you can say it, and they are listening to it, and then it's to the point to when it gets to a certain point, and then it's said in a not so nice way, then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you know, you're not a communicator, you're shutting down, or everything doesn't have to be an argument. But I know as the man, 9 times out of 10, you probably said it a number of different ways as nicely as you could, and then eventually it's like, why are we still, you know, again, why are you asking me the same thing? Like, I answered that question
already. Well, see, I think women are over communicators a lot of times. We are. We over communicate. So if something's wrong, we're going to tell you. If we don't like something, we're going to tell you. If something happened exciting a lot of times in our day, we're going to call and tell you. So I think we over communicate. I think for a lot of times, men, what's important to us sometimes is not important to you guys.
Well, that's the thing. It's like things that, you know, are if something comes out in passing, well, why am I just finding out now? Because it's really not that big a deal most of the time to the man.
But so, it's not that big of a deal to you guys, right? So, but it's a big deal to us.
But how do we know? Like, if it's not a big deal to us, then it may not be something we feel like we just need to share. It's like it's another thing to happen in the day.
So how do you define, I guess, I have to say this, just talking from a male perspective, I think that you guys, the big things to us are small things to you guys. So we do feel like, just say, for example, if something happened throughout your day at work and we find out 2 months later, it's kind of like, did you hide it? It doesn't have to be anything, of course, malicious or anything, deceitful or anything like that. We feel like we should know everything that's going on in you guys' lives. We should know everything. If your tire got flat, you should have called and told me. You know what I mean? So that is how we basically think as women. So, David, what's your take on communication? Do you feel like that you communicate when you have an issue with your wife, do you feel like you communicate it? Or how do you handle if you have an issue as far as the communication is concerned? Or if you don't have an issue, just as far as communication is concerned, period, do you feel like you need to talk to your wife about everything?
No, I really don't feel like I need to talk to my wife about everything that I experience in my day. Because like Tim said, a lot of stuff we feel like it's not even important. And you know, of course, you guys, as our wives, you want to know everything that we do and all that. But as a man, we're not going to call and say, somebody pulled out in front of us today, or almost had an accident or something like that. So, I know my wife wants to know everything that I endure during my day.
Tread light.
But, you know, I don't think that I need to tell my wife every little thing that happens. You know,
and I mean, and that's fine. You know, I mean, hey, and you know, I do be wanting. I don't want to know everything. Let's not go that far, but I do be wanting to know everything.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, guys, let's go on so we can.
Can I interject on Juanita's question?
You sure can.
But because her question was speaking about not being able to know what's going on with her man, mm-hmm. other than him being upset, and that goes back to, for most men, and I can speak for myself. As an example, most men are not effective communicators when it comes to sharing their feelings. And it goes back to being a child when we would come in with a cut, you know, 7, 8 years old, so when we cut ourselves and we may, you know, want to cry or maybe want to pout. And it was either your mom or your dad or somebody said, man, you know, go clean that
up. Suck it up.
Take your butt back outside. Yeah. So what we learned as we grew up was, you know what, everything doesn't have to be shared. Everything doesn't have to be told to the world because it takes us back to those vulnerable feelings that we've had. But what happens is as an adult, we, as women, in some cases, you guys, like Tim mentioned, are not receptive to our message. Mm. So, you know, I took it upon myself to cook, and I cook a lot in my house. And one day my wife said, made a comment about me making some rice, and I've been cooking, making rice for 30 years. And she made a comment about it, and, you know, thankfully we're in a second or third or fourth phase of our marriage because these same comments that she would make would shut me down. And I would stop, I wouldn't cook anymore. And I wouldn't, whatever it was that she spoke to, if it was she didn't like the way I cleaned the bathroom, guess what? You clean it from now on. Mm. But I would never, we wouldn't have a back and forth about it. I would just finish up and I'm like, okay, 2 weeks later, when you gonna clean the bathroom? I'm like, no, you got it. You got it. But she
so you
would
kinda,
never.
You kind of shut down.
Right. And that's what most men do. So what happens is, and you know, and like she said, when he gets upset, of course, he'll vent, not in a way of communicating, but he'll vent, let her know that he's that upset to let her, you know, feel what he's going
through. Well, how do you guys communicate with your wives? Like, for example, if there's something bothering you, right? Because, you know, with us, you know, we'll wake up on Tuesday morning like, you know what? I don't like how he said good morning to me this morning. You know, like, really? And
most of us,
and guess what we're going to start doing? Yeah. We're going to pick the phone up. We're going to start texting. Mm-hmm. Or we're going to call and be like, well, why you cut me off? Why did you hang up the phone so quick? So, because we're over communicators and we're overthinkers. And you guys' brains doesn't operate like that. Mm-hmm. So when it's time to communicate something, just say you don't like something, okay? You're bothered by something. Do you communicate that with the, hey, can we talk? Do you send an email? Do you send a text? Like, how do you communicate with your wife if there is an issue? Well, or do you not say anything?
Well, you should. Most people don't say anything. And that's why it becomes this whole big thing that mm-hmm. it didn't never have to be if you just would address it when it was just a small minute.
See, that's where I am
why
with
did
it.
You cook the rice like that, you know. But, you know, to be effective communicators on both sides, both people have to be willing to, you got to make yourself vulnerable. You got to be able to put, you know, say everything that you truly need to say for the reasons you need to say it. Not, you know, I took all the money out of account because I don't want you doing X, Y, Z. No, you know, we had an agreement and we said we weren't going to do these things and you decided to do it. So if we can sit and talk about that, nobody would have to go and start making those kind of moves.
So you should communicate that, not have a problem with it.
At every little phase, and it'll keep it from.
And I mean, I agree with that, but sometimes you guys, you spoke on something. You guys do hold things in, which I don't think to women that it's fair that you guys, you know, in marriages sometimes you guys will hold things in. Something could have bothered you for 3 or 4 months, and we'll have no clue about it. And so when it does,
you have a clue. You have a clue. And it is that sometimes it's like you have to look and pick your battles. Like, that's the best thing for it. So if, like you said, it could be something minor and you're like, okay, all right. But even if it's minor and you don't verbally say something, if she does something that annoys you, she knows that there's a problem.
I think guys try to avoid confrontation, personally.
Yeah, because little things turn into big things most times. Because especially if what you say, if what I say to you don't like, it's going to become a bigger problem. Yeah. Because then then it's all the questions of, well, what are you talking about? Or whatever. And then now you want all these large explanations for something that could be as something. Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
We tend to want you to explain things a little more thoroughly. And you guys are so blunt sometimes. Not everybody. But you guys sometimes, you know, you're so blunt and to the point. But I feel like personally, if I have done something that you're bothered by, just tell me on Monday. Don't hold that for 2 or 3 months because it may be something I can try to go work on or fix or something like that.
Yeah, you said, but like I said, you're saying it so nice, like that's true. But
excuse you, Tim.
On Monday, and you would still be mad about that on Thursday. And when something was really small, it wasn't that big a deal. But if it's just in how you interpret, because 9 out of 10, if it's something like that, you don't feel like you've done anything wrong. And it could just be something, you know, like you were saying, it may be even little things that you guys have discussed that go on. So sometimes, okay, I'm going to let it go today. All right, I'm not going to say anything about, you know, this money that was spent or this or whatever. But then if it continually goes on, yeah, eventually you got to say something. And then that's when, yeah, it has gone on. And then that's when you come back with, why didn't you say something earlier?
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter what I say. I'm saying now, like, okay, I've noticed this is what's happening. Let's address it right now, just about this point. The point hasn't changed.
But are you waiting until you get to a place of anger, or are you talking about that in a calm place? So that's what I'm talking about, far as...
I can't say. I'm sure there are guys that want. But I think most times when you go to somebody, you don't just go to them looking like, okay, I want to start a fight. Like, you go to them and be like, look, you know, I just want to bring your attention, this, this, and this. It's the response.
Yeah, they get defensive with the first question.
Yeah. So,
well, I think it has a lot to do with deliverance.
You can say that, but yeah, you can say it nicely.
Oh, it has a lot to do with deliverance.
No, but then because if something negative is coming to you, then all of a sudden there's an interpretation. Well, why are you talking to me like that? Mm-hmm. Well, why am I talking to you like what? I just said this. Well, the tone of your voice. Okay, so now I got a tone of my voice.
Well, Tim, I think now and this can work on both sides. This is a husband and a wife. Now, I think sometimes human nature, you can say, well, hey, if you have an issue, come and let me know. But human nature, when somebody comes and let you know something and you hear that as a negative, or you feel like somebody is attacking you, or however you are receiving it, okay, your response is going to be not the sometimes the action to what they're saying. It is action to what they're saying. You don't. Sometimes we don't hear what the person's saying because we hear that as a negative, right? So, and that's true talk. So if she's argued with you for the last 3 weeks, right? Or you guys have been going back and forth. And then today she's actually coming from a really great place. And she says something to you, far as she might talk to you about maybe cleaning the house up or something, just for an example, because you already have heard her talking about ABC in the last couple of weeks. You guys are going to take that in a negative manner.
Well, again, I don't think you speak to that for everyone. If you come to me and say something about, okay, you know, how about clean out the shower or whatever? I'm like, okay, I can take that. But then don't come back down in 5 minutes. So when you going to clean out the shower? I said I'm going to clean out the shower. Like, I don't mean I'm going to get up and go run and do it right now because that just came out your mouth. Like.
So we want you guys to move when we want you to move.
Yeah.
But, sometimes.
Yeah. I know I'm guilty of it because, you know, I'll ask him to go. I can say, can you go get such and such out the car? And I come back 15, 20 minutes later. I said I'll go get it. So I think because, you know, what we do when we want something done, we go do it right now.
Well, okay. That's what I said. That's what the problem is. Because if you was going to do it, and then now you're going to make a big deal about the fact that you had to do it.
Wives, I got y'all. I got you guys. Trust me on that. Well, let's talk about a really important issue. Money. Let's talk about money, okay? Money is a really big issue in a marriage outside of communication, all of the other things that we've already discussed. Now, when it comes to money in your marriage, do you need to know everything that your wife spends money on, do you need to know it down to the dollar, to the penny, to the cent? Ty?
Of course. But, you know, as men, we don't go to the bank account and look at all the transactions. We just trust our word most of the time when it comes to money. But it is important, you know, from a savings perspective to know, for us to know, so we can try to, you know, get a handle on what we're trying to accomplish as far as saving money. But we don't, as men, I don't
need to know every penny, every dollar.
I need to know, but I don't know because I don't go check.
I think you need to know.
I want to know, but I just don't go check. So it's not that serious with me. But, you know, it's important, like I said, you know, if you're trying to build something to track every penny that goes out and comes back in or whatever. But
what you think about that, Gary? Do you need to know every dollar, penny, and cent, you know, that your wife spends?
Actually, no, I don't. Ironically, I do because I handle all the finances from my family.
Okay.
But not from an accountability standpoint. I just know what those figures are. But my wife and I kind of have an unwritten rule. Our money is our money no matter where it comes from. So I'm totally okay with whatever judgment she makes in regards to spending them. I just ask her, and she does the same, not to make any problems for us. So for example, her check, she can spend whatever she wants with it as long as she knows that the bills are covered, that we have to take care of. But don't take money and do something else, either help a family member, help a friend, or go have a shopping spree at the mall and then say, oh, I forgot to handle this.
Like, okay, so go that. Not being basically right, spend the money and you that. Haven't taken care so, of the household.
I mean, that hasn't been, and that's actually been more so me than my spouse in our relationship, but we both agreed to, you know, to make sure that home base is covered first before anything
and
else.
Before
so
you go out,
I honestly don't need to know.
You need to know every time. How about you, Tim? Do you need to know every dollar down to the penny to cent of what your wife spends?
No, I mean, I'm in a lot of ways like Gary's, like, in, you know, if in the household, I take care of all the bills. Now there's, you know, both parties work, so of course I don't clock her on what her check is like. She's made a commitment, like, okay, I'm gonna take care of these things, the major bills in the house and everything else, that's you know, I take that as my responsibility. But the things that she says she's gonna take care of, I only have a problem if they're not taken care of.
Right.
Okay. So, now, who is, like, everybody has the financial, I call it financial manager in their household. You know, sometimes it's the husband, sometimes it's the wife. Because, of course, we all know that one manages money sometimes a little better than the other person. Or this is a person assigned to making sure everything in the household is paid. Because everybody knows with your household, there comes a lot of bills, right? Mm-hmm. So, is that something you do in your household? Well, basically, I think you said you're the one that like make sure all your bills are paid.
When I say handle the finances, I mean I kind of make the judgment calls on what we should spend money on, what we should spend money. But however, in the 20 years that my wife and I have been together, from the minute we started dating, she physically manages all the money now.
Okay, and how about your household, Tim? Who manages the money in your household?
I do.
You do, okay. And how about your household, Dave? Who manages the money in your household?
My wife. Of course, you know, and, you know, I let her manage the money, you know, because, you know, I'm gone a lot of times, so I don't really have a problem with that. But only time it's really a problem where, you know, it's maybe she didn't handle something when she was supposed to or whatever. And that's when we'll say something, and we definitely don't say it nice. So you know, other than that, you know, we good.
Okay. All right. This is another question I want to talk to you guys about. And this question is a little sensitive to a lot of women. Okay. So infidelity. So I'm going to ask this question. This is Karen, and Karen lives in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm trying not to read the entire thing. When they email in, you know, they're really long. So recently her and her husband went through infidelity where her husband actually stepped outside of the marriage. She's having a hard time forgiving him. She wants to know when you got, she doesn't feel that he's apologetic. I'm just gonna try to short brief this. She doesn't feel he's apologetic to what he's done. And she wants to know, why do men think it's okay to determine when you get over something?
I don't think the man determines when you get over it. It comes down to, again, the same situation to me. If they talked about it and she agreed, okay, we're gonna try this, you're coming back in the house or whatever, then she can't constantly keep going back to him about that. Like, I think you have to clear the air about it at that time and ask everything that you need to know, because the guy doesn't want to relive. Like, he already knows what he did, right? So I don't think he wants to, like, every time something flashes in your head, that you come back to him and talk about that again.
Well, Tim, let's say this. I mean, and this is not for all men. So, guys, you know, we're not directing this to just everybody. So this is not just, you know, overall. We're just talking kind of individual case by cases. But a lot of guys do have some of the same language, just like a lot of the men, women have some of the same language. But in this case, her email is really long. If you forgive someone, right? And I think this is what it looks like she's done. Forgave him so she can stay in the marriage. Sometimes you forgive with your mouth, but you haven't forgave with your heart.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you guys have to talk about it and say that, you know, and you got to be clear. Like, I mean, that, okay, that there's going to be times when I'm going to have questions. And if he accepts those terms, then it's cool. But whatever the terms are for y'all to try to proceed or go on with it, you know, it's no different. If you know, the one, I don't think a woman, you know, if it's going to be, to me, women don't say, oh, it's, you know, we're more accepting than men or whatever. Like, I can say that for me, it would be tough for me, and I would have questions, and I would definitely want answers. But nobody wants to answer questions about some infidelity. So okay. If you address it that one time or whatever, and then we say, and the point is, I don't know what their situation was, but if in the context of the whole thing was like, okay, we're going to try this. I understand what happened. I'm going to try to work with you on it. But at some point in time, if it's still bothering her, then she got to be honest about it and say, I don't think I can get beyond it. And if she can't get beyond it, because he's not going to want, because yeah, he's going to eventually get upset, especially if he feels like he's working hard at making the current situation better and he's doing everything he can. He can't go back and take whatever he did back.
I understand that. But you know what? And this may be a controversial to, you know, a statement, what I'm about to say. I do think that sometimes, not all men, of course, but I do think in some situations that if you've done something with you guys, it's like, why are we still talking about it? That was last week. But we're still emotionally attached to what happened. So we're still emotionally attached to the action. You guys got up the next week and kind of like, why are we still having that conversation? Because I thought you forgave me. But forgiveness, that comes with time. That comes with, I mean, and it's your job if you, whether it's the wife or the husband, okay, in this case, it was the husband. But if you are the one that broke the trust in the marriage, then it's your job to me to rebuild. Because it takes sometimes years to rebuild trust. It takes seconds to break trust.
I'm not saying that the trust is instantaneously rebuilt. But I'm just saying if the issue is remorse, if he showed enough remorse for her to say, okay, I'm going to take. If he never showed remorse, it was like, okay, we're just going to work on this. And they never had that moment where he broke down and said, okay, you know, whatever. And she took him back. Then why is she looking for remorse? If he didn't have remorse for it in the moment, it's not going to happen. So it's like constantly going back to him, talking to him about it, because the further he gets removed from it, yeah, that's going to be, I think that's going to be anybody's reaction. So if you're not remorseful, and that's the thing, is like the biggest thing is if somebody does something like that and you guys have the small talk, there is no remorse, there is, and then at some point in time, yeah, you, as the person who's damaged, you're going to feel like, oh, well, this person's really cocky about it. Like, you mm-hmm. know, it didn't hurt them. So that's her issue.
So, yeah, so I've spoke to a couple of different females in different situations going through that same exact thing. And but it, in my opinion, I think what it boils down to on the female side, men don't do this a lot. They do it also, but not as much as women. On the female side, they want to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. And it becomes an issue of, just like what she's saying, it becomes an issue of punishing the individual who did the act instead of both of you guys working towards what you agree is your end result. If you guys want to stay in a relationship and you want it to work, you know, before you can forgive someone, you have to be you have to want to forgive that person. And it's okay if, you know, if you haven't forgiven them. But here's the deal. You guys want it both ways. You want to be able to say, give me your credit card, you know, give me access to all your bank accounts. I wanted this. You need to buy me a new ring. You needed all of these things. But then you still want to say, I haven't truly gotten over it yet. So you can't have it both ways. If I've crossed the line and I've ruined your trust and I've made you feel like emotionally you repulse me and this, that, and the other, then don't let me in the house. But don't let me come in the house under the guise that we're okay and we're working on each other being a better couple, and then every day we have the same conversation. And when I don't jump to the tune that you want me to jump to, now all of a sudden I'm not remorseful. Now all of a sudden, you know, oh, you trying to tell me how I need to get old? Like, no, you just can't have it both ways. I figured.
So wait, so let me get. Like, I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So you feel like if the forgiveness is not totally there yet, then right. Don't have me in your space. Is that what you're
right,
saying?
Right, right. I mean, you know, it's just like anything else. You know, we can, you know, the Lord can forgive us for every single thing we do, but we have to, you know, be sincere in right. our intentions and confess and be willing to move on. He doesn't say we have to be able to repent for the rest of our lives.
So you feel like women sometimes, when you guys, if you guys do something wrong, we kind of want you guys to pay for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The same
blood
is,
sweat, and tears. And in dollars.
Oh, yeah.
The same is, most of the time you forgive, but you don't forget. And nobody, you're never going to forget. Mm-hmm. But if you truly forgive, you got to be able to deal with it and figure out the workaround. And you can't, and there's no way, like, the person doesn't need a constant reminder of what mm-hmm. happened. But only time I feel like that would be, you know, again, like if you're in a situation like that and you're dealing with somebody and they just have an arrogance and it's almost like whatever happened, if they're still lying about stuff or more stuff's coming out, then you can bring it up. But if you still going back to that one incident then you haven't forgiven, and eventually that person, the other person, is going to get pissed off.
So basically you're saying if it's one incident that's going on and you guys have already talked about it.
It could be a full-blown affair, but I'm just saying whatever point was when you guys had that conversation, and if you guys talked through it and you was like, okay, and you come to it and say, okay, well, I think we can try to work. We can try to work through this. We can try to work around it. And he's basically, or she's been full disclosure, everything. If you don't have any new stuff to come back, like if you find out something new, of course, it's a new conversation. But to any time, like, you know, just like you say, what Gary said, if all of a sudden he doesn't move the way you want him to move, now that's something you want to throw in his face. That's not right. And only thing you're going to do is eventually, yeah, at first, because they know they've been wrong, they're going to give you that. They're going to accept it for a little while. But eventually, yeah, they're going to push back anything else, because they're going to feel like, okay, I came into this based on what we said when we sat down, that we were going to move past that and we're going to work past now. I'm doing all the new stuff that I said I was going to do. I'm not getting ready to keep talking about all of that. So either we move on and we try to work on what we said we're going to work on based on that, or we're going to, you know, we can't.
Tim, how do you feel, and this is, I'm asking you, how would you feel? Do you think you would be able to, and I know you may can't answer if you haven't went through a situation, but do you think you'll be able to forgive your wife if there was infidelity in the marriage?
No.
All right, there you have it, guys.
I'll be honest.
You want to be honest? Yeah. Well, men are built a little bit different. What about you, David? You think you'll be able to forgive your wife if she infidelity in the marriage?
No, I doubt it. You know.
Yeah, because a man's broken trust is not the same as a woman's broken trust. And I mean, guys, to be honest, we're stronger than you guys. We are. We're stronger than you guys, actually.
I believe that.
Okay, so you're going to need to elaborate on that.
I'm talking about far as us having to, I'm talking about far as us.
The fortitude.
Far as us accepting things and things of that nature. Yeah, we're stronger than you guys, I think, personally, because we deal with things a little bit better than you guys. I think when it comes to certain situations, we can handle things better. You have more women that forgive their spouses, then you will have men that forgive their spouses. Is that safe to say? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can agree with that, but I think for men, it's more of an ego thing. It's not because they're not. Mm-hmm. Like, there are a lot of men that can't forgive, but I mean, I can just say I have the ego to the point where, like, okay, I mean, if that's what you wanted, then you might as well go ahead and stay over there. I'm good.
Well, guys, we have actually, this conversation probably going for 2 more hours. So what I would like to do, because I want to go through some of the pertinent questions, because I know women are going to be so upset with me during this show that they didn't get their questions answered, because it's really important for us to know how you guys think, because you guys are helping other women. Because guess what they're doing now? They're taking this and applying to, okay, well, that may be how my husband may feel, because we don't know, because we're not men. You understand what I'm saying? So I do appreciate you guys joining us this morning to talk about getting inside of a male's mind. And what I would like to do is I'm going to have you guys come back. Tim, I know that you are in the Atlanta area, so we will arrange for you to call in. So what we're going to do is do a live show on a Thursday, so we can do it live and so everyone can kind of see the show as it's going on. So that show won't be edited as this one. You know, we may kind of put some things together with this one, but that's going to be live. So what you say is what you're going to say. Okay.
What I say is what I'm going to mean.
All right, guys. I want to thank you all so much for joining us this afternoon for Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. I want to thank Gary this morning. I want to thank Tim. And I definitely want to thank David, my spouse. I think he played it very safe today. Good job, hubby. Now he can get back in the house. All right, so I want to thank you guys again for tuning in. All my listeners to Motivate My Life Radio, I'm your girl, Teresa Murphy. And you guys have a great rest of the weekend on purpose.